Later, we'll discuss the thief in the night and Daniel 9, the 70-week vision which rapture preachers say prophesies a great Antichrist who will rule the world for 7 years. And I'll read from the marginal notes on Daniel 9 from a copy of the Geneva Bible, a Protestant Bible originally published in 1560, over 400 years ago, and I'll show you what the Protestant Reformers taught about Daniel 9. Last week I showed that the parable of the tares and the wheat of Matthew 13 taught that the tares, or the wicked, were to be removed first, and the wheat, or the righteous, left. So also the parable of the net, the bad fish removed, the good fish left. In Matthew 24, the two women working in the field, the one taken and the other left, two grinding at the mill, one taken and the other left, by the clear teaching of verse 37 through 39, the one taken represents not the righteous, but the wicked, the exact opposite of the doctrine taught by the rapture preachers. We read 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." The word heaven is not in the passage at all, and the Greek word translated meet means literally to go out to welcome. This is the resurrected and changed saints of God welcoming Jesus as he comes to the earth as king, not going with him off to heaven. I gave that in some detail last week. The Rapture of the Saints. That book gives the origin of the doctrine of a future reign of an individual Antichrist, how it was invented by a Roman Catholic priest to counteract the Protestant Reformers' teaching that the Roman Pope was the seat of the Antichrist. No Protestants taught that doctrine of a future Antichrist until 150 years ago. Today, it is a dominant theory among Pentecostals, Baptists, and many radio and TV evangelicals. It is as false today as it was when that Roman priest first thought it up 400 years ago. The Antichrist have martyred upwards of 100 million professing Christians since 1914, No rapture in Russia, none in Eastern Europe, none in China, none in Cuba, none in Vietnam or Cambodia, and even as I utter these words, anti-Christian assassination squads are murdering Christians in the Latin American countries of Nicaragua, Guatemala, and Costa Rica. It is getting closer to home, and still no rapture. All right, to the thief in the night. This is a phrase used by rapture preachers to teach that Jesus will return secretly and silently like a burglar to snatch away the Christians and whisk them off to heaven before anyone knows he has been here. The first mention of a thief which can be related to Jesus' return is Matthew 24, where Jesus continues his answer about the signs of his coming, verse 42 through 44. "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." Notice what happened when the thief came. Destruction, the house broken up. Luke 12, verse 37 through 40 is a repeat of Matthew 24, except for the added in verse 37. Verse 37, Luke 12, "Blessed are those servants who the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. And now listen to what the Lord will do when he comes." And these are the very words of Jesus. "Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself, and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them." When the master returns, he makes his faithful servants sit down, and he serves them. No space voyage in that passage either. The next one is 1 Thessalonians 5, immediately following the supposed rapture passage of 1 Thessalonians 4, which we discussed last week. Verse 1 and 2, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Now, listen to what happens at that time. Verse 3, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." The thief in the night, then sudden destruction. And here I should insert just what that term, the thief in the night, meant in the days when this was written. In those days, all cities, even small villages, were walled in some manner. They were afraid not of a local citizen who might be a burglar, but of bands of robbers from without, after the manner of Alibaba and the 40 Thieves. A large group would attack a small city or village in the night, roust everyone out of bed with a great noise and tumult, break into the houses and any storage area, and collect all of the valuables and escape into the hills. That is what Jesus was talking about when he spoke in Matthew 24 and Luke 12 of the thief breaking up the good man's house. That is what Paul meant in 1 Thessalonians 5, that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night, noise and fear and destruction like that brought about by a large band of thieves. Turn to 2 Peter 3, another witness. Verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night," and listen to what Peter says will then happen, "in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." This is the New Testament description of the time which is likened to a thief in the night, called here the day of the Lord. Turn to the Old Testament. The term day of the Lord is used many times by the Old Testament prophets. In Isaiah 13, it says in verse 6, "The day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty." Verse 9, "The day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate." And listen to this, "and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it." Again, exactly as we read in the New Testament, the destruction of the wicked, not the removal of the righteous, in the day of the Lord, described in the New Testament as coming like a thief in the night. Jeremiah 46:10, "For this is the day of the Lord God of hosts, a day of vengeance, that he may avenge him of his adversaries, and the sword shall devour, and it shall be satiate and made drunk with their blood." Ezekiel 30, verse 3, refers to the day of the Lord, and the next verses describe a great battle and a war and the destruction of nations. Joel 1, verse 15, "For the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come," and then he describes a great battle. Amos 5, Obadiah 15, Zephaniah 1, Zechariah 4, all the same story. The day of the Lord, a great noise and a great destruction, not a time of silence and secrecy. The very last chapter in the Old Testament, Malachi 4, speaks in verse 5 of the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And it is described as a day when the wicked shall be burned up, and the righteous shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet, in that day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Every testimony in the Holy Bible of the time described as like a thief in the night is described as a day of great destruction upon the wicked of the earth and the exaltation of the righteous. Not one single passage can be used to preach a day of silence and a day of removal of the righteous and yet thousands of rapture preachers use that phrase as a thief in the night to preach something silent and quiet and secret. Turn to the last reference to a thief in the New Testament, Revelation 16, verse 15. Rapture preachers again usually quote only the first phrase, "Behold, I come as a thief," and they skip the rest. However, the preceding verse tells us that this is when God is gathering the kings of the earth to the battle of the great day of God Almighty, another term for the great day of the Lord, and the following verse tells us this battle is to take place at a place called Armageddon. Who is destroyed in the battle of Armageddon? Well, the wicked, God's enemies, as described in detail in the next four chapters of Revelation, followed by the kingdom of Christ described in the last chapters. So again, the reference to coming as a thief is right in the prophecy of the last great battle, the battle which will destroy the wicked from off the earth. Verse 15 is also a warning to the believers, and it should be explained here. Let's read it all. "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and may see his shame." In those times, as now, a watchman or guard was to remain awake. In the ancient armies, if a guard was found asleep, the officer would quietly remove his robe or outer garment without awakening him. His loss, when he was awakened, of that garment was proof he had been sound asleep, not just catnapping, and he then would be shamed and punished for sleeping on guard duty. Jesus is here warning his followers, just as he did in Matthew 24 and Luke 12, to remain awake and watch for his return and for the battle, not to be caught sleeping and to be shamed for your inattentiveness to his admonition. Actually, the teaching of the rapture puts people to sleep about the actual happenings to come of the great battle. That is the last of five passages in the New Testament where the word thief can be related to Jesus' return. Not a one of them can be used to teach a time of silence, a secret coming of Jesus to the earth, or his silent retreat to heaven with a handful of believers. In some of them, the accompanying sentences or verses speak explicitly of noise, of a great breaking up, of destruction. In the last one, even of the battle of Armageddon. In the Old Testament, that day is prophesied as the final great destroying of the wicked. The thief in the night passages speak not of silence, but of noise and fear. Like other phrases and verses used by the rapture preachers, they mean almost the exact opposite of what the rapture preachers say they mean. Turn to Daniel 9, verses 24 through 27, the 70-week vision of Daniel, where the rapture preachers say 69 weeks were fulfilled up to Christ, and then there is supposedly a great gap, or a parenthesis, as some call it, and the 70th week, they say, is to be fulfilled in the future. Now, most of us agree the weeks here are weeks of years. So each week stands for 7 years, a total of 490 years in all. Rapture preachers say the last 7 years is a future 7-year reign of their great Antichrist. Let's read the whole passage, then examine it in detail. Daniel 9, verses 24 through 27. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sin and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, and of course that's 69 weeks, The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And here's the last verse, verse 27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now those who teach a future Antichrist say the person referred to in the last verse, where it says, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, is this great Antichrist. They say the Jews in Palestine will rebuild the temple and begin offering animal sacrifices again, that this Antichrist will then make a covenant or a treaty with the Jews, then in the midst of the week, or after 3.5 years, he will break his agreement and stop the Jews from sacrificing in the temple, and then bring tribulation upon the Jews. Immediately, there is one thing obviously wrong with their interpretation of verse 27. Notice it says, he will confirm the covenant. The English word confirm and the Hebrew word from which it is translated means simply to verify or to strengthen an already existing covenant. There has to have been a previous covenant. And yet there is no previous covenant credited to any Antichrist. However, in Romans 15 and verse 8, we read that Jesus Christ came to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. The covenant here spoken of is God's covenant with Israel, confirmed or strengthened by Jesus Christ. Daniel 9:27 is not speaking of an Antichrist or of the Jews, but of Jesus Christ and of Israel. I mentioned the Geneva Bible. I have a copy here on my desk. It was translated in Geneva, Switzerland, by the followers of Calvin, first published in 1560, 50 years before the King James Bible, which, by the way, followed it quite closely. The Geneva Bible, not the King James Bible, was the Bible of the Puritans and the Pilgrims. The King James Bible did not come into general circulation until the late 1600s and early 1700s. Anyway, the Geneva Bible was published with voluminous marginal notes, which followed the general teaching of Calvin and other Protestant reformers of that day. Now listen. In the marginal notes on the 70th week of Daniel, they computed the time element, showing that the 69 weeks spoken of there ended with the baptism of Jesus Christ, then 3.5 years later, in the midst of the 70th and final week, Jesus was cut off, as it says in verse 26, shall Messiah be cut off. Their marginal notes say, in part, in this last week of the 70, that Christ come and preach and suffer death. Did you hear that? In or during the last week, the 70th week, Christ preached and suffered death. The Protestant reformers taught, as I do today, that the 70 weeks of Daniel were fulfilled and over 1900 years ago. There is no future fulfillment of 1 week. But you ask, what about the rest of the 70th week, the last 3.5 years? Well, that was fulfilled with Jesus appearing to Paul and with the other witnesses made of Jesus' finished work in the 3 years following his death. Verse 24 says this 70 weeks was determined to, quote, finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. Those were all accomplished by Jesus Christ with his preaching, his death, his resurrection, and his testimony after his resurrection, all accomplished during the 70th and final week of Daniel 1900 years ago. As to verse 27, about causing the sacrifice and oblation to cease, which the modern preachers say will be done by an antichrist to the Jews yet in the future, the translators of the Geneva Bible wrote this marginal note over 400 years ago, quote, Christ accomplished this by his death and resurrection, end of quote, and I say amen and amen. There is no future 70th week in Daniel 9. There is no future Antichrist in Daniel 9. Daniel 9 is about Jesus Christ, not Antichrist. Here, as in all of the phrases and passages used by the rapture preachers to teach a secret rapture and a future Antichrist, upon examination, we find their interpretation and their doctrine are almost exactly the opposite of Bible truth. They speak great swelling words to deceive. They prophesy lies in the name of God, and they repeat their lies over and over and over until that is all you hear. They are not preparing you to stand in the great day of God Almighty. They are concealing from you the truth of future events. And by the way, the non-Christian movie producers in Hollywood who have never glorified Christianity, but only degraded it, are now making movies such as Damien 666, Omen 2, which are about a Satan, a devil, or a future Antichrist who supposedly will rule the world. So Hollywood is now promoting the doctrine of the future Antichrist. Until next week, when I return with a new Bible study, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you. Read your Bibles and pray for Christian America.